Hi, my name is Ben Armstrong.
Hi, this is David Koch.
My name is Thomas Maurer.
Hi, I'm Donna Sarkar.
Hi, my name is Lana Montgomery.
Hi, I'm Seth Warez.
Hi, I'm Aaron Thomas.
I'm Jess Dodson.
Hi, I'm Rocky Heckman.
Hi, I'm Sonia Cuff.
Hi, I'm Troy Hunt.
Hello, this is Wally Mead.
My name is Reid Purvis.
Hi, I'm Lars Flynn.
Hi, my name is Alan Birchall.
Hi, I'm Adam Fowler.
Hi, I'm Sky Guthrie, and you're listening to the Need to Know podcast.
All the latest Microsoft Cloud news, as well as industry guest deep dive conversations. It's a Need to Know podcast. All thanks to the CIA Ops patron community. The Need to Know podcast. Catch us on Twitter and Facebook, N2K Podcast, and online at ciaops.podbean.com.
Welcome along to the Need to Know podcast. My name is Robert Crane, and you join me for episode 318. We are in the tail end of April 2024, and this podcast is focused on providing you with news and information on the Microsoft Cloud with a special focus on what's relevant for the SMB market. You can reach out to me after the fact on X at DirectorCIA. You can also send me an email, director@ciaops.com. Encourage you to follow along with my blog, blog.ciaops.com. And I also have a YouTube channel, which you'll find at youtube.com/@DirectorCIA. I also maintain a team share channel, which you are free to subscribe to. You can search my blog for the term join my shared channel, but I will also include a link to the steps you need to take to join that in the show notes. Don't forget the CIA Ops merch store, where you can purchase items to make a statement at your next event. And there is also the CIA Ops patron community at ciaopspatron.com, where you can be kept up to date and also get things like knowledge bases, automation scripts, and be part of a community of people focused on the Microsoft Cloud with particular emphasis on SMB. Now, if you just like enjoying the podcast, I'd encourage you to support this by throwing me basically a coffee, the subscription, or the ability to donate. I'll put in the show notes, is also on my blog there. So any contributions go a long way to ensuring that this kind of material can be continued on. Now, with that said, at the moment, probably the biggest information or the biggest announcement from Microsoft in recent times was the release of Microsoft Copilot for security. So this is basically AI sitting over all of your security signals, making life easier for analysis of incidents and security settings and so on. So it's a really, really powerful capability. It integrates with things like Entra ID, with Sentinel, with Defender for Endpoint and all the Defender products, but is also available as a standalone chat product. Now, one of the intimidating things with Microsoft Copilot for Security is the cost. So Microsoft touts that is $4 per hour. However, they also tout that you should have option of this running 24/7 over a whole month. If you do that, the minimum cost then is around $2,880 US per month, which is exorbitant for most SMBs. Now, the good news is because it's an Azure service, we can turn this off and turn it on as required. So I've written a number of articles on how to go about this and the recommendations for SMB, which I'll link in the show notes. You can go and have a look at my blog. But basically, the idea is you would go in there and set it up initially on an environment. You would then, you know, use it for a period. Roughly the cost would be around $4 per hour. And then you can turn it off and you would incur no additional costs until you came back and turned it on at a later period of time. So we get that on-demand capability if we want in SMB particularly. The downside is the ability to turn the settings on and off is not, you know, a particularly one button press straightforward option. There's a little bit of tech involved. You can automate it using PowerShell and using a number of other mechanisms, but you do need to go into the Azure portal and basically remove some of the resources so it is effectively turned off in the background. When you return, you just need to re-enable or re-establish those resources and Security Copilot will kick off again. So I think there's a lot of benefit here in the SMB for using this or having this at least available as an option. The good thing is there's no standing subscription required for this. You only pay for what you use. So if you need to use it in an environment, provided you've got a paid Azure subscription, you can turn it off and turn it on as you need. Now, if you never need it, you never need to do any analysis, that's fantastic. It won't cost you anything. But the scenario would be is, let's say that you have a customer or your environment suffers some sort of breach. You need to do some analysis. You go in there at 9 o'clock on the day, turn it on. You utilize it for the full period. So let's say you utilize it for a full 8 hours, and then you turn it off when you've done some, after you've got all the information that you're after. So again, in theory, that's going to cost you around $32 US to do that. And let's say, because the demand does scale up and down depending on what you're doing with the tool. So my rule of thumb would be, if you allocate, you know, $50 for full 8 hours of a day, your Australian dollars say, then that's probably a very good indication. So I think for $50, it's a great option for an on-demand cybersecurity expert that you can have at your side helping you troubleshoot and resolve any cybersecurity incidents. So I certainly recommend this to everybody. But in SMB, you do need to pay attention to obviously managing the cost and making sure that you don't accidentally leave it on. So I've written a couple of blog posts here about how you can set up alerts for managing costs. You can also set up an automation capability to turn it off or make sure that it's turned off at a certain period of time during the day as well. So all of that is available to you. But if you haven't looked at Microsoft Copilot for Security, at the very least, I would suggest that you go and turn it on your own production environment, have a look at it, have a play with it, even if it's just for an hour, and then basically turn it off and don't use it again. But I think it's very important to have a look. And the benefits and the capabilities and the leverage it will provide you when you are investigating cybersecurity incidents, I think is quite phenomenal and really something that you should be honestly looking at, because it provides, especially in SMB, that ability to leverage, you know, for a relatively small amount of cost to get the capabilities that Copilot does provide. So I'll put a link in the show notes here for you to go and have a look at the information about the particular product. The other good thing about Copilot for Security is this concept of plugins. So what that means is, when you enable it, Microsoft gives you a number of default plugins. Those are going to be things like Intune, Entra, Defender for Endpoint, and so on. They will light up in those environments and allow you to work side by side with Copilot in those interfaces. So I think the capability to extend Copilot is going to be the winner here. You can keep extending it, so we can extend it into Sentinel, Defender EASM, third-party products, and so on. So I'll put a link in the show notes so you can go and have a look at the ability to create plugins. Now, the good thing is you can create your own custom plugin by simply just providing it with a document. So if you have something like a knowledge base article or Q&A or FAQ on the way that you do security, you can upload that into Security Copilot, and it can also leverage those capabilities. So I really like that extensibility that the product basically, you know, does bring and does provide you. So in all cases, make sure you go in and have a look at that and evaluate that, not on this $2,880 US per month. Evaluate it on the capabilities that it can provide you in your environment, with the ability to leverage on-demand resources of a very, very high level here. Now, of course, Microsoft has made available some training. So I have a link in the show notes again that is titled How to Become a Microsoft Copilot for Security Ninja, the Complete 400 level training. So go in and have a look at that. There's quite a deal of resources in there if you want to work through that and understand what Copilot can do for you and how to get up to speed with that. But the major takeaway is, yes, it is something that SMB should be paying attention to, have a look at, and be utilizing environments. It is based on Azure billing, which means it's consumption billing, not a flat fee per month. So you do need to turn it off and turn it on demand. And lastly, be very, very careful that you do turn it off, and be aware that if left running, it will run up quite significant costs. So you do need to be diligent in doing that. And I have a number of articles around in my blog. Probably the best one is Copilot for Security, the Lowdown for SMB. So I encourage you to read that for my SMB take on how to look at and think about Microsoft Copilot for Security. Now, of course, Microsoft has given us some other information. This one coming to us from the Exchange Online team. There is a public preview of high volume email for Microsoft 365. So if you do want to go beyond the existing mailbox limits of sending lots and lots of emails out of your Exchange Online, Microsoft does have a public preview you can sign up for here. Now, generally in SMB, I would encourage that high volume email typically be done in a dedicated tool like MailChimp or whatever. But if you do really need to do that, go in and have a look at this public preview of this high volume email out of Microsoft 365. The link will be in the show notes for you to have a look at. Now, another thing from Exchange Online is the introduction of an external recipient rate limit. So the idea here is that we can limit the amount of emails that are being sent out. So this is going to hopefully prevent spammers and those sort of people using default Exchange Online tools or tenants to basically spam everybody out there. So again, if you are getting close, if you are sending, you know, a relatively large amount of emails, you might want to go in and have a look at this external recipient rate limit that is slated to begin in 2025 or will be enforced in 2025. So again, if you do need to send a lot of emails, look at that high volume option from Microsoft in preview, but do be aware that Exchange Online is going to introduce this external recipient rate limit in January 2025, which is probably not that far away. Another article here from Microsoft that I'd commend for you to go and have a look at is Hunting for QR Code AITM Phishing and User Compromise. So the use of QR phishing has become more prevalent, and Microsoft does have a number of items here around hunting for those in your environment. So you can take the KQL queries that are listed here and put them into things like Defender for Endpoint and Sentinel, and then you can create regular alerts based on that. So if the query turns up any results, then you can receive an alert. It'll appear in your Sentinel or even send you an email. If you are concerned about that, you want to create an automated approach, have a look at these queries that Microsoft provide in this article, and then automate those so they appear on a regular basis if you need to. So turning to the productivity side of the equation here, Microsoft has released Microsoft Mesh, and that's a new way to connect. Article here for you to go and have a look at. Now, the first thing to remember is that Mesh is a virtual environment, a VR-style environment where basically you can interact with others, in an imaginary world, I suppose. The important thing to remember is typically this is going to require a Teams premium license to attend and also to set up. Now, if you go into View, you'll probably find an option there called Immersive Space 3D. But remember that you won't get that experience largely unless you have a Teams premium or equivalent account in there. Now, it's very interesting to determine how this will be taken up widely as well as in SMB. So I think perhaps in larger businesses, yes, I can see the value in here and the change up and moving it away from boring standard, you know, meetings and looking at people on video to being a little bit more interactive and perhaps think of more than just an ad hoc meeting. Think about a training environment. So if we've got to do a webinar or this sort of thing on a regular basis, having a virtual environment to be immersed in rather than, again, watching people's backgrounds or not seeing any video at all, probably has a, you know, a lot of value in there. So Microsoft certainly is persisting with this. So if you do have Teams Premium or you are interested in having a look at this, have a look at this article. Now, I've certainly tried it, set it up, but there aren't many of my contacts out there who do have an equivalent. So I can really just set up an environment myself and wander around it, which is a bit lonely, as you'd appreciate. So if you do have a license, you do want to give it a try, let me know, reach out, email director@ciaups.com, and we can set up a ad hoc meeting and just see what it actually involves. We do have multiple people in this mesh environment, get a much better idea of it. But there's plenty of examples out there on the web, YouTube, and Microsoft has plenty as well. But again, it'd be good to actually use it in a real world situation. So if you do reach out, I'm very interested in having a play with it at my end as well. Now, another thing that is probably very important for a lot of people is this article here, realigning global licensing for Microsoft 365. So the European Union Microsoft has agreed that with the European Union that it will decouple or remove the Teams inbuilt license from its suite of products. That means going forward that Teams will actually be a separate add-on to Microsoft 365, you know, Business Premium and E1, E3 and so on. So the details here on how that changes, what the pricing are. If you already basically have Teams in your suite, there's nothing you really have to do. It will excuse me, it will stay as it is, nothing for you to worry about largely. But going forward, when you start selling new licenses and you want to have teams, then you're going to have to buy the suite, the standard suite, Word, Excel, PowerPoint, Excel, SharePoint, and so on. And you're going to have to buy the Teams add-on to that as well. So there's going to have to be basically a couple of dollars extra to do that. So, yeah, my advice is have a look at this article if you are involved in purchasing or selling the suites. Going forward, there are some changes, but largely those people have it already. They'll be fine. No change for them. Nothing largely to worry about. But if you do buy a new license, then you will have to be aware that it will probably come unbundled with Teams. You would need to add a Teams license on top of that as well. And that's, again, to comply with the European Economic Area ruling that Teams needs to be decoupled from the suite to improve competition. Now, one of the other components that Microsoft has had around for a little while is Loop. If you haven't had a look at Loop, it's a bit like Notion. It's a fully interactive capability to create tasks and documents and all sorts of things. It's a bit perhaps not well presented, I think, in the environment. It's sort of something you can embed in a range of capabilities in Microsoft 365. I think it has great capabilities, but I think it also leads to confusion because you'll be using Planner, Task, To-Do, Loop. There's a lot of capabilities in this, and perhaps there's a case of too many tools. But for those that do use Loop, I think that it is a worthwhile investment of your time and it's going to have a lot of benefits. Now, there is an improved task list component in Loop. If you are doing tasks in Loop, this article here I've got for you will show you those improvements beginning to look more and more like Planner or To-Do. And that's a really handy thing, allowing us to embed the Loop component of these tasks inside an email, inside a document, inside a SharePoint list, all that sort of stuff is super, super powerful. Now, there is a rumor too that Loop will also be available to external people as well. So at the moment, one of the limitations Loop has is that you can only work with people inside your organization. I certainly would love to see the ability to have an external capability to share with external parties with Loop. And I understand a lot of the limitations are around the compliance side of it. And Microsoft is working on this, but I have heard rumors. Don't quote me on it, obviously, but there is a move, I think, on the roadmap to allow external parties to access Loop. I think when that does become available, then that will open it up much more for SMB. It's going to be a really quick, easy way to get a lot of these sort of things done with external parties. But at the moment, Loop is only internal and it has just improved its task list. So again, go and look at the show notes, the link there on how to do that. Now, Copilot for Microsoft 365 has been available for a while. It's certainly regularly improving, updated, enhancing features. So Microsoft has confirmed in this article here, bringing the latest capabilities to Copilot for Microsoft 365 customers, that the priority access to GPT-4 Turbo, unlimited conversations is now available. Image generation capabilities have been enhanced and more power basically being added to Copilot. So if you do have Microsoft 365 Copilot and Copilot for Microsoft 365 and so on, again, recommend you go and have a look at this article, see the enhancements that have been made. It's, again, an improving capability. Now, one of the things I have seen out and about is that a lot of people say, well, Copilot for Microsoft 365 isn't as good as Name Your Poison AI Copilot thingy, ChatGPT, whatever that I'm using at the moment. Again, it's still very early days for all of this, but I think if we look at the long-term trends, I think the Copilot stuff from Microsoft will come out the winner, will continue and improve. Mike, the focus of Copilot initially is going to be largely your internal data, being able to reason, use AI across your internal data, which the third parties generally can't do. And then it will obviously improve, enhance the information and the way it uses AI against, you know, external web-based information. So, yes, maybe not now, but I think, you know, it's going to continue to improve at a very rapid rate to be equivalent. So I see this as a bit of an analogy back to when the search engines, you know, for first coming out. So we had, you know, Yahoo, we had AltaVista, we then went to Google and so on. So this is a natural progression of the technology. And you're going to have a lot of players initially in the market as they spin it up and take advantage of the capabilities that are available. But I think we'll see consolidation over time. And the idea would be is the big benefit from anything Copilot from Microsoft will be working on your internal data, which keeps it secure and keeps it private. So I think that's a real big benefit to keep in mind as well. Now, if you do use ClickChamp, so ClickChamp's a great way to edit and work on videos. I use it regularly. Very, very handy. Really, really good product. Well set out, well arranged. Lots of features and functionality for next to nothing. It's largely included, again, in Microsoft 365 capabilities as well. So if you need that. But for doing videos, creating animated GIFs, all that sort of stuff, it is the tool, I think, especially if you've got your data in Microsoft 365. So this article here talks about the ability to, you know, remove silence from conversations, also to, you know, add audio tracks and, you know, a better editing experience. So if you do use ClickChamp or you haven't looked at it, I encourage you to go in and, again, have a look at what the capabilities are that Microsoft's providing with this, you know, quick and easy video editing tool. Now, the last one I'll call out is a new item here in Entra. So Entra is the old Azure AD. It allows you to look at your identity, manage your identity, users, logons, all that sort of stuff. Now, what they're doing is they've added a new feature here. So they've added a feature that allows you to discover what's new in Microsoft Entra Admin Center. So if you go into the Entra Admin Center, and it will have an item there, and it will show you a news update of all the new things, all the updates, all the enhancements that they have added to Entra ID. It's a nice unified location to go and see what's happening in that sort of environment. So I've got the article there for you to go in and have a look at. So pop into entra.microsoft.com and you should find on the left-hand side there in the menu a what's new item that you can go through and you can query and basically have a look at all the enhancements they've made to the identity management in the Microsoft Cloud environment. So with that, again, I'll thank you very much for the opportunity to speak to you today about the Microsoft Cloud stuff. Don't forget, you can reach out to me at DirectorCIA on the X or at director@ciaops.com. And all the details, all the information, all the show notes will be posted. And you'll also find that and probably some sort of transcription, or at least a summary, a Copilot summary now, on my blog, blog.ciaops.com. But with that, I'll thank you very much for listening to this episode of the Need to Know podcast.
You have been listening to the Need to Know podcast from CIA Ops. For training on using technologies like SharePoint Online or Microsoft 365, visit www.ciaopsacademy.com. By purchasing from the selections available, you'll be directly supporting this podcast. To provide feedback on this episode, visit www.ciaops.com/contact.